quickly to get to at the end of the Hakdama. We still have to finish up the question of defining Shechita as a mitzvah, and the question of Bracha and Taiva, Basar Taiva B'Midbar. So I hope that the next couple of Shiurim we'll be able to do that. And you should start already looking just at the Mishnah and the first Tosis about Shechita Al Yedei Nashim, and again that Mordechai that we already looked at, that also expands on the Eldad Hadani issue, which we'll talk about much more. And then already the beginning of the Shaka Vitaria, which, again, I hope we'll get to that by the end of next week, by the end of this coming week. That would be the goal. So we've been discussing a bit of a, just a few ha'aros before we begin, but we've been discussing a kind of a meta issue that comes up here, and that is the question of minyan and mitzvos. You can understand that that is really a massive topic, the question of what the criteria are to justify inclusion in the minyan tayag. And as I said the other day, it's particularly challenging because there seem to be many more than 613 mitzvos. So the question of you know, being precise and being consistent always requires two things. First, that we establish what the criteria are, and then secondly, that we assess, you know, each controversial candidate to see whether it qualifies. And again, across different systems, there might be different criteria. That itself is fascinating. It also might reflect different orientations in a broader way, or it could just be limited to, you know, the question of what we think the function of minyan and mitzvos is. So that's hard to say. But certainly within a system, once you think that you have some confidence that you understand what the criteria probably are, so then, you know, then from there to, you know, to apply it, you know, to particular controversial cases, you know, that becomes much more focused on the specific character of what we're dealing with. So again, it takes a little bit longer. I tried to do kind of like a, you know, an a priori, you know, analysis of what things might be included, what things are obviously included, what things are obviously not included, and everything in between last time. But obviously, it's a much, much bigger topic. And again, we'll touch on this, you know, once we get to Daf Beis. Again, I'm leaving that part out for now. But as I already alluded to, like, let's say you have double Avin. That's the problem of Lo Yachlifenu V'Lo Yamir, which comes up on Daf Beis, and which is discussed by the Balei Tosas here in Chulin. That's another example of this, of two aspects of this topic. Okay, so that's where we were. Mostly we're zeroing in. We're using, again, you can't talk about Shechita without, Shechita's role in Minyan Mitzvot without talking about, you know, some of these Minyan Mitzvot questions, which is what we've been doing, but our focus should remain on Shechita itself. So before we just pick up where we left off, I want to finish that part of it off for today. Just a couple of quick comments or mar makomos of things that people have asked me. So Moshe just asked me an important point. So I just want to clarify that point. And that is that the Rambam himself does mention in the Shirashim and lists Shechita among other avodos as something that is a chelek of the mitzvah. And that, of course, is true. So, you know, what do I mean, or what do we mean when we say that the Rambam ignores Shechitas Kodshim and Minyan HaMitzvos? But that's exactly the point. In other words, that the Rambam thinks that Shechita and Kodshim is not merely, you know, a technicality, but that it is a significant stage or phase or part of the process. Again, that didn't have to be either. You could have said it's just, you know, purely functional. But that isn't surprising, and that isn't really, it would be a little bit surprising if the Rambam did it. The question is, do we see it as a chelek, you know, me asiyas, or seder hachatas, seder hatamid, hakravas ha'asham, hakravas ha'olam, picking words. Do we look at it that way, right? Or do we see it as, you know, being significant enough, you know, that it deserves its own mitzvah? That's really what I'm zeroing in on. If you look in the beginning of Maaseh Karbonos, this is what I was referring to. It's Laso Saola Kemaseh HaKsuvim Ala Seder, Seder HaChatas, Seder HaOshem, Seder HaShlamim, and so on. And there are plenty of other specifics along the way. And the bigger point is that the Bahag did think to count it separately. The Urayim did think to count it together with Chulin, but to make mention of it. Bahag thought to count it in its own right. Now, again, those could just be different systems. You know, it's hard to know whether that's a substantive machlokas about Shkitas Kodshim, the role that it plays, or it's really about the criteria question. But at the end of the day, the fact that the Rambam himself does count Shkita in the Korban Pesach, Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, certainly Pesach Sheni in all formulations, Pesach Rishon, in most, and doesn't simply suffice to say Lasos HaPesach Kisidro, or Lahakriv as a Pesach, mostly. So that contrast shows you, what's possible. So then it's the choice that he made in one context, as opposed to the other, and that becomes very significant. So I'm not suggesting that the Rambam doesn't think that Shechita, and again, this goes to the point also that I made, which is that Shechita certainly is an avoda, and it's the first of the avodos. And the name Zebach, again, the Gemara in the beginning of Zvachim discusses this also, does the word Zebach mean, like Zebach Shlamim, or Zivke Shlamim, does that refer to Shechita? Or is that just like the name of the Korban? But either way, the fact that Korbanos are called Zvachim, and the word Zebach means Shechita, is surely very significant. Again, if you want to downplay it, you could downplay it. You could say, oh, it just means that's the transition from it being an animal to being a cheftza, that's its first stage in being a korban. It's just phase one, and it's more pragmatic, maybe. But I tend to think that it is much more than that. And again, as we already mentioned, the Dalet Avodos are significant for Lishma. They're significant for Pigol, and all of that surely highlights that Shechita is much more than a pragmatic or a functional dimension, even in Kachin. And I think I mentioned the other day, but I didn't tell you where against from. That's the Mishnah Lamelis interpretation in Perek Dalid of Hilchos Maisa Karbanos Halacha Yud Aleph. This is based on the Mishnah Mem Vav and Zvachim about the Vav. There are six different Lishmas that the Mishnah refers to. And when the Rambam formulates it, he says, "Vitzar Shatia." This is Dalad Yud Aleph in Maisa Kavanos. "Vitzar Shatia Machshavta B'Shas Shkita Sa'ula." The Shem Shisha Devarim. Shem Azebach, Shem Azaveach, Shazebach LaHashem Baruch Hu. Shak Tiru LeIshim, Shak Tarasa LeReach Bilvad. The Shareach Zeh Nachas Ruach Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And Shachat Stam Kosher and so on. Okay, so these are six. The Rambam says, "Vitzar Shatia Machshavta B'Shas Shchitas Ha'Ola." Right, l'shem shisha dvarim. So the some of the Nosa Kalin here. I'm trying to remember who. One sec, I'll tell you in a second. I think it's the Mishnah. I think it's the Mishnah Melech actually. The Mishnah Melech says, "Yeah, da shadas rabenu who de b'shas shchita dafka be'inan kabana l'shem vav dvarim. Avo b'shar avodos lo be'inan kabana." L'shem vav dvarim. Not everybody agrees with this at all, but that's how the Mishnah. This is Mishnah Melech Dalet Yud Aleph. Again, that just means that Shechita stands out. Now, again, does it stand out because it's just the beginning of the process, or because it's Shechita? Hard to know. And either way, there are people who disagree with this Mishnah Melech. I'm just trying to show that there's a lot of evidence that Shechita is very central. At the same time, that makes it even more significant in a way that the Rambam didn't think that. That the Rambam thought that unlike Shechitas Korban Pesach, it doesn't qualify separately for Minyan and Mitzvos. And I do think that that has something to do with Shechita Ksheir Bazar, Shechita being part of the world of Chulin. Again, there are no secrets here. I don't need to hold this out. I've kind of already said it, and this is what I believe. And that is that the Rambam has a very dialectical understanding, and that is that Shechitas Chulin is upgraded by virtue of the fact that he seizes on that Sifrei, in Parshas Re'eh, by virtue of the fact that originally Kasher Tzivitzicha or Vizavachta comes from the world of Kachim, and again the connection to Bechor Balmum, and the other things that we have been, and we'll see more. And therefore, that's why it's a mitzvah, I believe, or contributes to being mitzvah in Chulin. At the same time, it's kind of downgraded a little bit, you know, as a pure kudshim separate mitzvah, you know, by virtue of the fact that it was extended to Chulin. The extension to Chulin upgraded it, you know, in Chulin, and kind of downgraded it in Kutch. That's what I really think. And therefore, again, it's, you know, just this is my, I guess, response to Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlo, right, who says that, you know, it's inconceivable that somebody would count Shechitas Chulin and not count Shechitas Kutchim, right, when he has his comment that we already discussed, which is you're not going to count both, right? So you're not going to count both. He says, and once you count Chulin, you know, then it's obvious that you're also counting Kutchim. Who would exclude it from Kutchim and include it in Chulin, right? But I think that, you know, not only does Rambam actually does that, but I think that's why the Rambam did it. Okay, so that's to clarify those two points. The other thing, very quickly, just as a mar makom, we were talking about oaf, and I was suggesting that the Prima Gadim Safek, you know, that maybe this question of the status of Shechita as a mitzvah, that maybe it'd be mechalik between oaf and other things, he bases it on the, you know, the makar, which is fine. I wanted to suggest that, especially if this comes from the world of Kachim, then the idea of Malikas oaf and so on and so forth, you know, may play an interesting role in all of that. Again, his conclusion is not to be mechalik, but I think Safek either way is an interesting thing. So I made reference to a debate between the Rambam and the Raiva in the context of Shechutei Chutz. That is in Perek Yud Ches, I think, of Maisa Karbonos, Halacha Yud Ches. I'm not going to go into the details of this. This is V'chein HaMolek Esa'ov, Bachutz, is the Rambam, Patur. Din Helo, Patur. Molek Bifnim, the Helo Bachutz, Chayiv Al Ha'alaya. That makes sense because the Malika had significance. Shachtu bifnim vehelo bechutz patur shalohela eladavar shein roi likarev. If you did the shechita bifnim, but what if you did shachat asa'ov bechutz vehelo bechutz? Ah, so that's interesting because from a chutz point of view, what you did was legitimate. But from a had you done it, you know, in parallel the Pesach Hol Moed, that wouldn't have been a proper korban because you need Malika. So the Rambam says about that, Shachat asa'of b'chutz ve'helo b'chutz chayiv shtayim. Shashchita b'chutz sheira v'harehi kimalika b'pnim. That's interesting. And the Raivid says, Om Avram, ze'atam ein botam, elu shelo chayiv akasav ba'ov v'lema shachiyiv v'behem. Okay, but the certainly doesn't like the reasoning of the Rambam. So this is an interesting question. It's also a question about... it's a double question. Again, sorry, it sounds like everything's a double question. But often they are. It's a question about Shechutei Chutz and the question of what it means to be Ra'ui, you know, the Pesach Oel Moed. Right? How much of an eye do we have on that? You know, and whether mainly it's the slap in the face and the turning your back, you know, on the potential of Oel Moed, or Oel Moed is more of like a shiur in... you know, in improper, you know, Shechita B'chutz. Again, that's a whole topic. That's one issue. But the other issue, of course, is to understand what the relationship is between Malikas Oaf and a Karban and Shechitas Oaf in Chutz and Chulin. And that is relevant generally to our topic, and it would fit in very nicely in terms of this discussion of Prima Gadim. Maybe it fits also to the question of, you know, can Eivor Menachai in Oaf and its relationship to Eivor Menachai in other things. The discussion of the Gemara, whether Shechita even is necessary for Oaf. Of course, we paskin that it is, but that whole discussion, etc. So that was that makar. And then one last point, just on this point, the possibility of distinguishing between, within Kachim, so that we already have Korban Pesach and Shar Kachim for the Rambam, but the idea of also distinguishing between different other different Karbanos is something to think about. Again, this came up with Sefer Mitzvah Psajigon, such a Ta'ara, that if you're going to split Chulin and Kachim, you know, you might as well also just list every Kachim separately, you know, as well.
Right.
Now, he may have meant it in, like, you know, if you're already widening, you know, your criteria for, say, for a mitzvah, so you don't really care about distinctiveness, you just care about, you know, applying the same mitzvah to different cases, so then, you know, why draw the line here? There's kulin, there's kachim, there's also many cases of kachim. Okay. Similarly, I have a similar discussion in about big day kahuna, right? Should you count, if you're counting big day kahuna, does it, you know, where should you draw the line? Should you count them at all? You know, are they just a hechsher? There's a discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban. If you're already counting them, is there a difference between, sorry, the achronim, between the Kohen Gadol, you know, and the Kohen Hedyot? And then there's a line in the Ramban, in Sefer Mitzvahs, where he says, and if you're already, you know, counting things, maybe you should count Kohen Gadol's Big Day Lavan separately from his Big Day Zahav. You know, or, and other people say, and maybe you should count every beged as a separate mitzvah, right? Similar question, might be a different answer. So in all these cases, again, the question is about the loose or very rigorous, you know, criteria of difference that is required for separate minyan mitzvahs. That's the question, or the question really is conceptually, like, are these different mechayvim? Like, is every beged of the Kohen Gadol different? Are the Big Day Lavan and the Big Day Zav so different? What's more different in the contest of differences, between various things, right? So that, you know, becomes an interesting kind of a question. But in Achanami, even though I don't think that there's so much evidence to say that in, you know, aside from Korban Pesach and other Korbanos, I do think, you know, we do find it for other things, for Pigul, for Shinui, for the Shinui Hashem of Shinui Bailim, that people make distinctions between different, you know, Korbanos, the role of Zrika is different than different Korbanos. We already mentioned in Korban Pesach or Rosh Chita. I just don't think, aside from Korban Pesach, that there's so much reason to distinguish between Ola, Asham, Shlamin, etc. But the paradigm of making such distinctions in other things is sensible. Shchitas Oaf and Malikas Oaf might be a reason or a good place to draw the line. Okay, so that's really just what I wanted to catch up on. And now let's move forward. We were discussing, yeah, did you want to ask something?
Yeah, so this is for Ruth and Pishal Perlau, he makes that second comment about if so, you'd have to count a separate mitzvah for each time the Torah mentions Shvita. So is that saying that the reason why Kulin and Kachim need to be together is just simply otherwise it becomes absurd? Or
no, I don't think so.
Right, or is it that really they're so they're integrated together?
I think he's saying, again, I don't think he's saying it's absurd so much. Maybe a little, I guess. Put it this way. I think there are two ways to take the comment. And I'm not sure which way he meant it. I'm not sure what he was thinking about it, whether he was, you know, different. I think he thought, well, you know, this is to that as that is to this. But whether he meant that in terms of, as I say, a looser, you know, criterion and say for a mitzvos, like if you're accounting already not just different mechaibim, but different hechetimtzis, right, then count all the hechetimtzis. Okay, that makes it more of a sefer mitzvos comment. Or did he really mean, you know, if the subtle mechayiv difference between chulin and kodshim, right, is it justifies a different inclusion in a rigorous world of sefer mitzvos criteria, right, then in my opinion there are subtle mechayivim differences within kodshim that should justify that as well. Those are two different ways to take the comment. I'm not sure whether he was, you know, whether he was like thinking, you know, one or the other, but that's two ways that the comments can be taken. In either way, I don't think he's saying that it's absurd, like Ein L'Davar Sof. I think he's saying, well, you know, if you're taking a stand here, then the stand that you're taking, you know, should lead you to one of the, either to this system-wide, you know, meta, say, from Mitzvah's conclusion, right, or to this, you know, more like, you know, fitting in, you know, the different Mekai. Then the answer, of course, is like, Mehechatesi, you know, why should you say that? I mean, there can be more subtle differences, you know, or there can be more significant conceptual differences and less ones, you know. Not everything is the same. So where you draw the line, it becomes an important question. That's why I gave the example of, you know, Oph and Prima Gadim as I think, a good one, or Korm Pesach for the Rambam, within Kadshim, even. Right. Okay. So let's go back to... okay, so we have the Bahag. We have the Yireim. We have the Rambam. I'll speak about what the Ruchim Fischer Prolo thinks about Rav Saad Yugon itself. But I just want to zero in for a couple more minutes, since we are doing this topic, on some of the... Lashonos, which I think are important to, because more generally speaking, we understand, you know, what's going on here. But, you know, a little bit more specifically, just interesting to pick up on some of the language. So, for example, the Ramban, you know, basically develops the position of the Bahag here, right, in two places, one in Shorash Aleph and the other in Shorash Vav. Right, Shorash Aleph, of course, is where the Rambam attacks the Bahag for counting mitzvahs drabanan, right? And he says, if you're already counting mitzvahs drabanan, so I have a lot more for you to account, you know, as well. Meaning, be consistent. It's similar to kind of what we were talking about before, right? And the Ramban is basically here saying, you know, there are mitzvahs drabanan and there are mitzvahs drabanan, right? They're not all the same. Just like in Mitzvah Storaisa, so they're not all the same. And therefore, the Bahag is justified having a more limited perspective. Oh. So it's curious. Hoodie, what's the first thing he talks about? Do you have it? If you don't have it, I have it. The first thing he talks about is an example of what you wouldn't count. Again, I'm just trying this quickly, but some of the details are at least suggestive. Right? Is... Eruvin, right? That's an interesting bimtomar sheroy lemnosa mitzvah b'pnei she'eruv atzmo yikra mitzvah. He says, you know, these are drabanans. You know that it's true he counts some drabanans, but he's not going to count all drabanans, right? So he says bimtomar sheroy lemnosa mitzvah b'pnei she'egavet she'eruv atzmo yikra mitzvah. And here it's curious also. This is something the Ramban says it a couple of times. Does the Ramban's raya that something is a mitzvah from the fact that there is a birchas a mitzvah per se, or from the nusach habracha, which says asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu? Okay, that's also an interesting point. We'll see in a minute, just to be medayik, that the Ramban typically... focuses on the nusach habracha, asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, right? It's a tzivui. Whereas you'll see just subtly that the Rashbats, you know, seems to zero in on the fact that there's a bracha per se. And again, this goes to an interesting question: the lefikach of the Rambam. You know, what was the Rambam saying? You know, about shechita and then saying therefore there's a bracha. Right? What is the significance of having a birchas a mitzvah per se? Right? Yeah. So what do you think about that? The example is Eruvin. So what does he say about it? Or Netilas Yadayim. Go ahead. V'chein Netilas Yadayim. Yeah. So I just think it's very interesting. I mean, the Ramban was in a bit of a pickle here, to try to figure out exactly where the Bahag draws, and this is very important also to note. This is, you know, what Natan started asking the other day, and that is, you know, how much of this is the Ramban, and how much of this is the Ramban's defense of the Bahag? Right? The Ramban, on the one hand, is a very, very, I've said this many times, very consistent thinker. It doesn't mean he doesn't change his mind that there aren't, you know, difficult questions of consistency, but by and large, the Ramban is a very, very consistent thinker. And he even, this is a ha'ara that isn't mine, but once I heard it, I've subsequently seen that it is very true, but a ha'ara of Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, that is that the Ramban is a writer who repeats his formulations. Okay, and that can be, you know, for two reasons. I mean, he'll often... you know, formulate things the same way, even across a large span of time and different literary genres. His language in Perush Al HaTorah, his language in, you know, Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Chidushim, in Mechamos, is often, that's either a function of somebody who Like, it's very, very consistent and worked very hard on his formulations, and therefore he holds tight to them. He thinks that they are very accurate. Or maybe somebody who is less comfortable. You know, there are some people whose, you know, command of language and also function a little bit of their personality or whatever. Like, you know, they have to, every time they say the same thing, they say it different. But whether it's one or both, either way, the Ramban is a very, very consistent thinker. At the same time, the Ramban did an amazing thing by writing, you know, Milchamos Hashem, which we're not looking at right now, and by writing, you know, the Hasagos and Sefer Mitzvos. And that is, it gave him the opportunity, kind of, to break out of what he really thinks, like his personally held strong convictions, and to kind of, you know, creatively, you know, explore, I guess, you know, other options. A lot of things that he says in defense of the Rif in the Mechamos, he doesn't hold. And a lot of, certainly even more things that he says in defense of the Bahag, or, you know, when he's saying, you know, Mehech Tesi, are you sure about that? And the Rambam, there are many times he doesn't follow through and take out the mitzvah in question. So the Ramban, I think, my theory, used the vehicles of Sefer Mitzvos and Mechamos, etc., to kind of break out of what his, you know, kind of normative view, you know, was. Like, we all have things that we, you know, feel very strongly about. And in some cases, you know, that's all that there is. Can't see any other view. That's the conclusion that we reach. But there are also, you know, for most of us, you know, different levels. Now, there are other views that we don't think are normative, but we think are acceptable, you know, and even attractive. You know, and therefore, imputing them to other authorities, you know, to understand better, to justify their view. It's a function of the respect you have for the other people and to understand their view. It's sometimes that pushes you. But also the a wider acceptance in terms of the canon of Chepta Shel Torah, even if it isn't Pesach. Anyway, we'll get too involved in that for a moment. But that, this is a great example of that because, and that's what we were talking about the other day, the Ramban, certainly in his Perush Al HaTorah, in Bereishis, and Noach, and Achrimos, and Re'eh, we'll see if there's any more, you know, does seem to be someone who is promoting the centrality of Shechita in a very big way. And yet, in this piece in Shorash Aleph, it's said for sure, when he talks about the Bahag, he is very limiting, as we'll see in a moment. He has a very narrow view of what Shechita is. But I don't think that's a contradiction. I think, again, this is trying to say, you know, don't make fun of the Bahag and don't dismiss his view. Is, you know, there's inner consistency. And it's interesting that he repeats a few times that, you know, yeah, from the Bahag's worldview. Right. And, okay, yeah. So having said that, it's interesting that when he presents the Bahag's worldview, right, both on Shechita specifically, as we'll get to in a second, but also on the criterion of Sefer Mitzvos, the meta issue, right, he does so in a way which, you know, raises the question, like, what is the Bahag's rigorous, you know, criterion here? And it's very amorphous the way the Ramban presents it. It could have been that it was very amorphous in the Bahag's mind. Meaning, there seems to be a conflation between requiring for inclusion, say, for a mitzvah, that something be a kumva asei, right? You know, that it be, it sounds like, you know, if something isn't a kumba say, then it's practically a lava ba meklala say in the, you know, reinforcement of the onish of the lab, and there's practically nothing in between. And we know from our discussion on Tuesday that that doesn't have to be true at all, right? Because there could be things that are, you know, chiyuvim or kiyumim that are contingent, and there could be kiyumim that are not mechuyiv bekumba say to do. Right? And there can be matirim that are, as we said, value-driven and not just neutral or definitional. And there can even be, you know, iser aseis, as we'll get to in just a minute, that are not just a reinforcement of the law. But it's fascinating that when he formulates this view, teda v'taskil she'en zayitza balachas mitzvah she'timane she'en adam mitzuvah lasos ha'eru v'shalo lasoso, right? V'eno klal, right? Bekum asei. Keep going. V'chein detilas
yadayim.
I mean, if you don't have a kumba say chiyuv to do eruv, to put up an eruv or to do netilas yadayim because you're not hungry or you don't want to carry, then that means that it's a lava ba, as we'll see in a moment, that it's the equivalent of lava ba mechalal aseh, you know, which is not worthy of being counted. Okay, that there's a huge, you know, in between, frankly, of those things. Go ahead. So this already shows that he's a little bit, you know, mistayeg on that, the Ramban. What he's saying is, and the first thing is, it's not a kumva aseh, it's not a chiyuv. Okay. Either is, you could argue that either is tzitzis or eating in the sukkah the second day, or after the first kazayas. Now he's saying, moreover, because he knows this, there's no kiyum, if you make 10 eruvin, or you do netilas yadayim 100 times, it's not like you're adding, you know, to your record. Okay? Not sure what that proves either. But it shows already that the Ramban is extending, he knows that there's a gap. Go ahead. Aval. Then, that's also fascinating. So instead of saying, oh, these are, you know, more subtle kind of mitzvos, but they're not for kumbaseh, or maybe we don't count kiyumim, or maybe you only count chiyuvim and kiyumim, but we're not going to count, categories. He says that everything is a mat. Aval hetar yisrahen. And you'll see in a second that he equates matirim with, again, lava b'mechlal aseh, which I don't think they are. I think there are matirim that are not lava b'mechlal aseh, and there are lava b'mechlal aseh that are not matirim. I think they do overlap a lot. I would say, 80% of one are the other. And I made up the number. Doesn't matter. But because there's a reason that they overlap a lot, right? It's not surprising. You would expect that they would, but they're still two different dinim. And yet, in the Ramban's formulation, you have all of this going. This is part of the creativity of the Ramban, too. But, okay, go ahead. Aval hetar ha'israhein. Oh, here's where he brings in shechita. So this is a way of saying, don't tell me because it's a bracha, and because the bracha says v'tzivanu, that means shechita is a mitzvah. Right? Because shechita is just a matir. Right? Very important. Even though the Ramban himself doesn't seem to fully believe this. Right? Certainly that's not the impression in the other places. Okay? So this is also very important. Why is that important, Woody? What is that? What's he called? V'dikta kuba, le malishkot, the answer, le malishkot, lo sagi de lo shachid. What is that? That's a Gemara. Well, I mean, it might be a Gemara. What is it? Psachin. You said Psachin, right? What's a Gemara that Psachin discussing? Because we have to discuss this a little bit more. Yeah, it comes up in Psachin because the Gemara is discussing the Nusach HaBracha of Birchas HaMitzvah. When do you say Le, when do you say Al? Fascinating question. Right? That may reflect on different types of mitzvahs. Correct? We're not going to go into all that right now, but we're going to touch on it a little bit. So the question comes up with regard to Shechita as well. Do you say Lishchot or Al HaShechita? Right? So the Gemara seems to say, you say Al HaShechita. And the language that he's quoting is why? Lo sogi de lo shachet. Is that what the Gemara really says? Does the Gemara say lo sogi de lo shachet? People, like, this one is, Rav Chevelle put out the one I have in front of me. But in the, the Franco one, they all note this. That what? Is that the gear set we have in our Gemara? Ellie? You see it? Zachin? Tani? Oh, start calling the new names. Oh, go ahead, Aryeh.
Lo sagid alav
ihu shachet. Okay, what's the difference?
Meaning, the Ramban's lesson is saying that it's completely irrelevant whether or not.
Who told you that you don't need it to be shochet? Don't eat. Or don't eat meat. Right? With the language of the gear, so that we have in our Gemara, and I suspect that Ramban had it in his Gemara too, by the way, is lo sogi delav ihu shachet.
Just personally have to shecht.
I mean, you don't have to be the one to shecht it. get Berman, you know, to Shechter. Okay? Right? Okay. One time we'll discuss Shochet Berman. I don't think the Ramban had this Girsa in his Gemara. I'm pretty sure he didn't, frankly. But I think he thought, or maybe he had the knowledge that the Bahag did. Rashbatz also quotes this. That's another example of what I'm trying to say here. Right. Meaning, for the Bahag, the point is, this isn't a mitzvah. Don't do it. It's a matir. The Gemara is not saying that. The Gemara is saying, it's not a personal mitzvah. It's a result-oriented mitzvah rather than a maisa-oriented mitzvah. Okay, we'll discuss the Rambam's view in Hilchos Brachos quickly, hopefully, when we finish all this up. Well, let's move a little more quickly. So, but again, this is part of the defense of the Bahag and also the view that a matir, that this is just a matir and nothing more. The Ramban himself probably doesn't think that's true. Right? It's at least a significant matir, and he doesn't take it out of the minyan of mitzvos himself. Go ahead. V'karan hu halav shenemra bahen. So here's where he does what I just said. He conflates two things which 80% overlap, but don't necessarily conceptually have to be the same. Namely, for the Bahags, what's he saying? It's a matir. Right? And that's what the Gemara says in Psachim, according to that Girsa. It's a matir. The Til Sedaim is a matir, Erevin is a matir, Shchita is a matir. Any matir should not be counted. He says, i.e., it's a lav above mechlal asay. Wow. Because that's what ikarnu lav shenemar kinin kol tzipar tahura tochel. That's a lav above mechlal asay. That's not a matir. That's not a matir. That's no avoiding, know the simanim, so that you won't make a mistake and eat the wrong food. That's not a matir. Nothing to do with a matir. Right? It might be a lav above mechlal asay. It might be an assay of some sort. But we'll get back to that because that's kosher food, so it comes under our rubric, right? But I think that's fascinating at the Ramban, and this is what he does in Shorish Vav too, as we'll see. Okay, Behech Yakpid.
Behech Yakpid al Vala Vala Shayimah Mitzvah Gazu Midivrei Sofrim.
This has nothing to do with Dibrei Sofrim, which is the Rambam. The Rambam is saying, Miman of Shachar, behold, Mitzvah Drabanon, so be consistent. So the Ramban is saying, well, in the worldview of the Bahag, this is the kind of mitzvah that even if it was Doraisa, it wouldn't be Nimna, because it's a matir equals lava b'mechlalase, I should say, it's a shevaltase equals matir equals lava b'mechlalase, which, as we know, is just a reinforcement of the Ikar Alav, which is already there. Go ahead. Ki ein eitzel balalachos. Ooh, there he goes, says it again. Shasiyasa mitzvah alein. Wow, that's very limited.
Right.
Here he gets the emish visasa, meaning he's now saying, oh, well, I mean, again, this is the brilliance of the Ramban. Like, this is the little window into his thing. Of course, I mean, there might be sheval tasas that are mitzvahs. Right, sometimes abstaining is a mitzvah. Right, that's a huge opening to all these cases. It's not kumvase sheval tase. It's a typically a sheval tase is not a mitzvah. Of course, there could be some, but this probably isn't one of them. Right, right. I'm talking about the simonic kashrus issues. Maybe obasiyasan. Maybe there's an asiya. Is there an asiya? Sometimes v'shev al tasa. By the way, those are two different ideas too, right? Sometimes, these are all possibilities to help out the Rambam. Sometimes avoiding the Iser itself is the mitzvah, especially if it's a mitzvah, it's an Iser that is particularly problematic and you're kind of in the orbit of it. Sometimes abstaining, right, although it's technically Sheval Tasa, is a kind of a kumbase, a halachic kumbase. It's not doing it, it's abstaining from it. Right? Okay. Go ahead.
Ella in no room the lab halab to behead the mana belavin the who low mana hashita.
Then he goes in the last line, does Vihine La Mana Ashrita? But the Ramban doesn't take out Shrita. Because he'll tell you it isn't a lava bamaklawa say. Right? It's one of these other things. Right? It's either, you know, a kiyum or a mata, which is a kiyum, or a chiyuv under certain conditions, or a kiyum at least, per se. Okay. But just fascinating, just how he, that's, I'm sorry to take so much time, but it's, there's just so much that you can, you know, extract from the Ramban and something like the Ramban. So I think, again, what you have here is the seeds of, you know, a certain presentation which differentiates his own view clearly from the rest of it. And, again, just to in terms of this part of it, just very quickly, the Tashbates, right, has a parallel discussion. But do you have that? What is it? Mem, Vav, Pei, Beis, and the Tshuvas? Goes on to Marm Komos also. So let's go through that quickly. So in Mem, Vav, he contributes the notion that the Bahag, you have it? Afal Pisha Gon Mina'an Lo Le'inin Shu Kashar Avodos HaMesuras LaKohanim Elishkitas Kadshim He Etzlo Mitzvah Nimneis Afal Pisha Shkitas Kulin Eina Nimneis Etzlo. So in the first one, in Mem Vav, he just tells you, by the way, the Bahag doesn't omit Shkita completely, right? He just omits Shkita Skulin. Again, we already talked about the Kinosophrim suggestion that he really holds like the Yirei. Okay. That's a fascinating thing, but doesn't seem like that's the Bahag. Okay, so the Rashbat basically says that the Bahag is mechalek between, and he is, between Shkitas Kadshim and Shkitas Kulin. Good. And he assumes that against the Kinas Ofrim. Fine. Then in Pei Beis, he says so much more. What is in Pei Beis? This is about Kisui Adam. Right? Umona mitzas kisui, ve'enamot mitzas shkita. You're talking about the Bahag again. You have it, honey? She'ena shkita. Similar, the she'ena shchita, probably influenced by it, mitzvah kashar mitzvos, but here he says, aval bishanu mevarchim aleha, ala shchita. That's, again, for the Ramban, it wasn't the fact that there's a bracha, it's the fact that the nusach ha-bracha is asher kitshonim tosef v'tzivanu. The Rashbats is saying, oh, the very fact that there's a bracha mitzvah is a problem. Okay, that's important, generally and specifically here. Go ahead. Why is it not? Nonetheless, Lefi. Meaning, what's he saying?
That is, if you didn't, anytime you don't do a shkita, you're not lacking.
Meaning, there's no absence of a kiyum. No. He's not just saying that there's no kiyum. It's interesting what they pick on, right? He's saying there's no absence. He's not saying if you do it, there's no kiyum. He's saying, "Im amad kol zmano v'lo shachat lo chasar lenefesh zechus." Okay, that's not a way of saying you're not mechuyev. He's saying it's not like you missed a kiyum opportunity. You haven't missed the opportunity of a kiyum. That's what he's emphasizing. Go ahead, and then he goes the other way. Bim shachat kol zon. Because he doesn't like this, the negative. Oh, you're abstaining from shchita is not a lost opportunity. Moreover, even if you just, these are subtly two different, right, lines. Moreover, if you do it, right, it's not like it adds anything. You haven't lost an opportunity and you haven't gained, even if you do it. Sounds like those could have been two different things. I'm just trying to show that the language of Rishonim is, like I say, a window into the subtle ways that they think. Go ahead. She'ena shchita ella? Eva Menachai, what do you think about that? Yeah, it's fascinating that he mentions Eva Menachai and not Nevela. We'll soon see that this is also echoed, perhaps, in what, Alex? In Rashi, maybe. People too, but. Rashi. Shai?
Yeah,
Rashi about Abraham and Chaya, you know, him was alive.
Excellent. Rashi and Shavuos. Yeah, excellent. And then the Rishonim take him to task for that, right? But on the other hand, and that's what I'm going to suggest. I mean, somebody asked me the other day, am I going to talk about that Rashi and defend him? Somebody wanted me to defend Rashi. I said, absolutely. Yeah.
I just point out, in the shoot, he does say Nevi'ah is inclusive of
Rabbi High. In the shoot, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I think is fascinating too.
He's saying he could just be using its both.
It's maybe it's both. I'm not so concerned about the absence of Nevela, although I do find that fascinating. Yeah, the bigger Chiddush is the expansion to Eber Menachai. Again, the Bali Tosis asks against Rashi, in Machzikim Yisrael, like what's I got to Eber Menachai is separate. Is, right. Maybe the omission from Nevela is important. If it's Eber Menachai more than Nevela, or maybe it's both. Yeah, in the Tshuva, he does omit Eber Menachai, and he mentions Nevela. I find this both formulations to be very interesting. The more obvious one is Nevela, you know, but could he, in the Eber Menachai, is expanding, or only now again, what I think we need to do, though, is understand all of this in light of our previous discussions, and that is, you know, we now know, right, that, you know, even in Mikra itself, like Eber Menachai was, you know, front and center from the very, very beginning. Like, Ochol Tochel. Again, you know, this is my Ha'ara pro the Chidushi Aran. Ochol Tochel, right, is Lamayit Eber Menachai. I mean, eat all the vegetables and the fruit and the whatever, as opposed to Eber Menachai. Right? But for the Ran, as we already discussed, the answer to that problem, I guess, is Eber Menachai is what's left of it, we're kind of anticipating. Really, Ochol Tochel means don't eat meat, including the most acute improper meat, Eber Menachai. And then you have Noach, who says, you can eat meat, but don't eat Eber Menachai. Right? So again, there were two separate things that were, according to the Ramah, two things were Asur, you know, in the time of Adam. One was the Yisr Chamor, which is Mechayev Yumisa of Eber Menachai, Chol Tochel. And the other thing was meat, because there was no Heter. That's the Ramah that we read. That's reviewing. Right? So now the Pasuk tells you, no, the meat, you can eat that. But not the Eber Menachai. So the way to read that Pasuk, according to the Ramah, is there were two Isurim at the time of Adam. Just because we're Mater one doesn't mean we're Mater the other. Is there any suggestion that the two Isurim have anything to do with each other? No. The connection is, you know, how much of the old order, just like we're repeating that you can't kill anybody, and we're repeating Piri of Rivia, and we're repeating Tzelem Elohim, so we're repeating Eber Menachai, although it has nothing to do with what has changed, Navy Basar. Going to the Ran, right, and maybe others, we suggested maybe this is Gufa difference between Ben Noach and Yisrael, maybe for the Rambam. The way to read the Pesukim is totally different. Right, the most acute expression of Yisr Basar was Eber Menachai. Right, and then came Noach and the Heter Basar. So the Torah needed to say, you know, it's true, but we're only being Matir Mixas Yisr Basar, or Rov Mix of Yisr Basar. But the most acute expression of it, namely Eber Menachai, that's Chai V'Kayim, that stays. Now for Jews, you know, maybe starting from Avram Ravinu, maybe post the Matan Torah, right? You know, there's a missing link. And that's what about two missing links? What about Nevela and what about Trefa? Right? So for Ben Noach, he can eat Nevela and he can eat Trefa. Well, we'll get to the Lishonos in the Psukim and the Ramban, not today, but we finish this up. But at the end of the day, the Torah only says Avram Rechai Katzton to Noach. No, but the Ramban, you know, put into Bereishis and into Noach, and again into the story in his Perush on Achrimos in all three cases, that when they said, but you know, no Eber Menachai, they said no Eber Menachai, and the meat requires Shechita, but not for the Bnei Noach. They never required Shechita, and they never had any sort of Vela. So what's fascinating is now when you think about it. You know, what is this Shechita you know, a matir for. You could say historically at the time of Avraham and Achai, you know, it's a matir for Avraham and Achai. You know, or is it a matir? It's a matir for nevela for Jews. There are many more cases of nevela than there are of Avraham and Achai. Avraham and Achai is much, much more specific, right? But especially if you hold like the Ran, and that is that Avraham and Achai is the acute Isur Basar, which doesn't get nitard. So then, what really happens is, you know, it's part of the original. Again, for Benoach, nevela gets, you know, part of the heter basar, but we draw the line at Avraham and Achai. And post Matan Torah, what happens is you need a shechita, an absent shechita, and nevela is now a separate isur. Or nevela is like, not an extension of Avraham and Achai, but it's not, you know, without shechita, there's no heter basar, in the same way that for Adam there wasn't, although this is Avraham and Achai. What I'm trying to suggest is that once you see shechita as the matir of basar, and if you look at Avraham and Achai in a certain way as well, even though these are separate, there's Avraham and Achai, there's nevela, there's trefa, you know, there's Eina Zavuach maybe, which we'll get to in just a second, right? According to some perspectives, Ein Machzikin, you know, Me'isar Le'isar. It's still probably true in a technical way, but from another point of view, when you look at the history of a carnivorous diet and the lumdus of, you know, what happened at the different stages, right? It's no longer so tamua to be including Avraham and Achai in all of this. In some respects, historically, it's even more accurate than Nevela. And maybe the Shechita, maybe Nevela is also in its own right. It is also Nitar de Shechita, but there's a separate special din of, certainly based on the history of it, of Shechita and Avraham and Achai, even not just also, but maybe specially. That's what I'm going to suggest for Rashi. I'll just read it inside when we get to it. But okay, so the use of Avraham and Achai here is certainly very, very significant. It's also noteworthy. Yeah, go ahead. What else do we have? The Chen Amrinam, go ahead. I mean, that same girsa for the Baha'i that the Ramban was suggesting. You probably saw it.
The cost of Imam Hashkito, Kasvan, Shehe Mitzvos Bulos,
Kova, meaning in Kachim. Right, there is a mitzvah. This is the explanation of the Bahak, right? And then but it's also fascinating is that he quotes two psukim. Right? Go ahead. Shachar is ben abakar is vayikra alafei. Right? The beginning of Torah's Kohanim, Ola, Shechita, right? That's like, you know, the, I believe, like, you know, elemental or kind of, you know, korban. And it's shechita is a mitzvah. But then he adds, the shachatu hapasach, which I think is fascinating. That's the other place in the Torah where it sounds like shechita is a mitzvah. That's the one that impressed the Rambam. Right? He has them as one. He doesn't say, you know, there are two mitzvahs, korban pasach, and, you know, and Shar Kachim, but he has both psukim, which is fascinating. Okay, and then he says Ubahem. This is also fascinating. Since Lishitaso, right? If you hold that's the girsa in the Gemara in Psachim, that the only reason we don't say Lishkot and we say Alashkita is because what we're saying is you make a bracha, but it's still a matir. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a kiyama mitzvah. It's not a chiyava mitzvah. It's not a matir, which is a kind of a mitzvah. No. But once you say then the kachim is a mitzvah, right, then you have to change the nusach habracha. You don't necessarily have to come to that conclusion if you have the girsa ihu, right, because what's at stake in the Gemara isn't whether shechita is a mitzvah or not. It's simply whether it's a personal mitzvah or a result-oriented impersonal mitzvah. But we'll get back to that. Rambam is a little more complicated in those brachos. You know, not surprising maybe. But, right? But this is a fascinating point as well. Maybe that the nusach habracha is different. Okay. If you hold like the Yireim, you know, or et cetera, that there's a mitzvah of Shechita Bekadshim Ubechulin, right? Isn't this a Chabracha going to be different? Or if it is, it would be for some other reason. Right? But for the Mahag, this is an interesting expression. Then you have the Tshuva. You have that? Where? What is it? Aleph. What's the number? What is it? Kufmem. Kufmem Aleph, is it? Kufmem? Yeah. Go ahead. The Tamal Ramban.
The Tamal Ramban Zal Shalom Nizkar Luzu. The Masha Gonzal Lomana Hashkita. The Minyan Mitzvos.
So that's fascinating. The reason the Rambam counted is because we make a bracha. Okay. Again, l'shitaso that the bracha, not even the nusach bracha, is key. But that works nicely with lefikach. Maybe that's where he got it from. Yeah. And he says v'Ramban gan came in. That's really interesting. You know, again, totally fits in. He didn't take it out, right? And everything he says in his Perush Al Torah, you know, promotes it as being unbelievable, like gratuitously, as I said, and very, you know, Tzar Balei Chayim, and it takes it, you know, neutralizes the nefesh thing and all aspects of it. Go ahead. Again, that's what bothers him.
Yeah.
Very similar to what he says in Zohar Rakia, right? There's no, you don't lose anything by abstaining. You don't gain anything by doing, as if those are two things, but okay. You know, so the bracha, you know, is curious, but it doesn't prove mitzvah. Okay? And then he has a raya for the Medrash, but what he says about the Ramban, or about the Ramban, is important. What he says about the role of the bracha is important. And again, here he speaks about Nevela rather than Avraham Menachem. Okay, so that is these are all important elements. In Shoresh Vav, right? It's just interesting. Again, that's where the Ramban attacks the Rambam and Lava Bamaflala, say. In general, he says, "Oh, the Rambam, you know, mentions three categories, but doesn't admit that he also kind of quietly, you know, counts a third category, lava b'chlala say, and that surely is debatable, and he's on the wrong side of that particular controversy." That's what the Rambam, that's what the Ramban says in Shorish Vav. And again, he quotes the Bahag. Again, he makes reference here expansively of the Rambam's counting simane kashrus of all of the, you know, what is it, kuf mem tes to kuf nun beis, chagavim, ofos, behemachaya together, etc. And Ramban basically thinks that that is all very, very problematic. But what's interesting is, and he says on the Bahag, l'shitaso, it doesn't count any of that. And why not? Once again, he repeats, because they don't have kumbase. You have a line there? In Sefer Mitzvahs? He says, A, they're not kumbase. That's very consistent with what he wrote in the Shorash Aleph. And then he adds, moreover, the lav is the ikar. Do I have it here? Yeah, Shorash Vav. But what is fascinating in all of this, somebody have it? Umipnesha inyan kein lo mena'an bal halachos. Derek Shalomanu Elu Shein Bikiyuman Mitzvah Kasher Kasafti. And then there's another line here somewhere, so I'm just not finding it, where he says, after all, the Ikar in these things is the Lav itself. Where's that? Go ahead, read it. Oh, there you go. Okay. But what's fascinating is that what doesn't he include here in his criticism of the Rambam? Shkita. Because it's one thing when he's defending the Bahag, right? But he's not criticizing the Rambam on that. Okay. As for his actual criticism of the Rambam, right, which is very, very important. So what's the Rambam's response? Again, by the way, if you look at the Ramban has this all over the place in Sefer Mitzvot. It's like Sefer Mitzvot in the Laban, I think Hashemat HaDalid, he talks about the Kol Shetiavti and you know, there being like a separate implicit Lav of Pigol and other things. There too he mentions, and as you know, the Bahag thinks that Lav HaBamakalal HaSeh, you never count. But the Rambam, disagrees with him. Meaning he projects this idea that the Rambam counts Lava Baba Klala Seh is all over the place. Okay? And on the other hand, he'll say he doesn't suggest that that's what's going on in Shechita, I think, L'Shitasa. But if you look at the Mefarshim, again, I'm not going to do that right now, but the Mefarshim on Sefer Mitzvah is fascinating to read, what they said, the Megillas Esther and the Kenas Sofrim, they have some interesting ideas. They point out that the Rambam more than not, does not count Lava Bamaklal HaSeh. Right? And the Rambam himself, right, when he was very clear in his formulation, he counts, an Aseh in a Lab of Shabbos and of Yontif and of Achila B'Yom HaKippurim. It makes it sound like, because those are different Mechaibim. So what's really the story of the Rambam? What does he count and what doesn't he count? But I think the answer, again, in broad strokes, when we finish all this, I'm going to just take a couple more minutes just to document it a little bit more. But if you look carefully also at the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Machalos Asuros, and I'll talk for a second about Rabbi Daniel Ababli and Rabbi Rambam also, I think that the general rule is consistent with what we were saying before. And that is, not all Lava B'Mechlal Aseis are the same. Some of them really are not even that. Sometimes you have like the Torah telling you something and it's just, defining the parameters. Like, these are kosher animals, these are not. When it says, this and this and this, tochlu, right, it doesn't even have to be, it could be, just an identification. These are the ones that are kosher, et cetera. That isn't a matir, of course. But maybe it isn't even a lava b'mechlal aseh that reinforces, the iser. Then there are some that are lava b'mechlal aseh that reinforce the iser, like a little extra onesh or a little extra emphasis. Okay, I'm guessing that those, the Rambam, the definitional ones, is nothing to talk about. Although it's hard to know which are which, but the pure lava b'mechlal aseh, I think the Rambam also will not count. What the Rambam might count are things that may look just like a reinforcement of the lav, but really are the equivalent of where you have an aseh and a lav. In other words, in Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur, you also could have said that's a lav. Isn't that a lav b'mechlal aseh? Really the halacha is you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. And the Torah says v'nisem to give it a little extra onesh or a little extra emphasis. Really, all the thing in Shabbos is just, to abstain from 39 Avos Melacha. And the Torah is telling you, if you don't, you not only get the zapped, because of the lav, but, there's an Isra Aseh to add to your infamous record as well. Okay? But we don't think that way, because we understand that, Shvisa isn't only a Sheval Tasa, it's also a Kiyum. Or that avoidance of certain things sometimes takes a lot of effort and reflects a certain posture and a certain respect in the case of Yontif or Yom Kippur for the day and for what the day is all about. Anyway, sometimes avoiding, the lav is a kiyum, and sometimes abstaining from the lav, is a kind of a halachic kumbase, just not a physical one. Right? Just like there are certain very amorphous, and we've talked about this a lot. You know, the line between Sheval Tasa and Kumbase is usually pretty clear. Physically, it's always clear. But halakhically, it's not always clear. Right? Sometimes it shifts just a little bit. For example, expectations, ignored expectations, right, can constitute a kind of halakhic, you know, passive kumbase, if you could call it, or passive kiyum, call it. Right? We talked last year about, you know, poshea kemasek, right, in the context of shmirah. Right? If you accept shmirah and you don't do a good job, you know, then, you know, your negligence is tantamount to damage. You don't physically damage the thing. You have that in the halacha too. You know, that's really, if you don't come to court and testify, you know, and people are relying on you, then that it's not just, oh, you didn't come to court, we're going to punish you, you know, for not coming to court. We're punishing you for abstaining from coming to court. What's the difference between saying we're punishing you for not or for abstaining from? This, the nuance of language. This nuance of language is important. Right? When you fail to come to the Mikdash on the Gimel Regalim, right, are you staying away? Or are you not coming? Or are you not coming? Right? That's a very fine line, but halachically, it matters a lot. Right? In terms of what constitutes a lav sheyesh b'maisa, lav shein b'maisa, and maybe what constitutes something, a different mechayev, and even something that deserves to be in binyan mitzvahs. So probably the Rambam held that certain lav b'ma klala says are just basically like saying over b'lav, over b'asei. And either they really are kiyumim, or if they're not kiyumim exactly, then there is something significant in the effort or in the effect, right, or the orientation of being careful about this particular Isser. Not only didn't you violate it, right, but you consciously didn't violate it. You're careful about it. It might be a din in Zahirus or Shmirah. We'll talk about Shmirah in Chulin very soon under the Beis Hamavos. Famous Ramban that I like to quote a lot, but that might be the idea. So, for example, when it comes to, you know, kosher food and knowing the simanim, there are several things you could say. Right? Let me just put it in a bigger context just for a second. Rav Daniel Bavli, when he attacks the Rambam, you know, speaks a lot about the psukim. And the Rabbi Avraham and Rambam, when he responds to him, says, I don't know what this whole, I don't know what he wants with the psukim. It sounds like he's being ma'arich a lot, and I just don't even know what he's getting at. So it is very difficult to read, but I think I understood what he's getting at a little bit. And that is that, again, some of the psukim, when it comes to Oaf or Chagavim or Chaya or Behema, about the Tochelu, Tochlu, right? Some of the psukim sound like they're just identifying, you know, the different groups. You know, or maybe just a little more than that, and that's a lavaba mechlala say that simply mosif onesh or emphasis on the lav. And some of them sound like the asay part is a little more. I mean, how do you express it? How would you know it? How superfluous is this comment? Could you write it in a more neutral way? How emphatic is the imperative part? Is it, you know, tochlu or tochelu? Right? Do you already know it, and therefore it's miutar? Meaning, what I think that he's really getting at, although he doesn't like any of it, is that he's like saying, listen, I don't like the Rambam, and I think what he did here was all wrong. And moreover, even if there's some, you know, method to this, right, and I'm filling in. And what would that method be? By examining which, you know, when you can identify without this kind of language, or when the language is there twice, or when the language is more emphatic than it needs to be. So maybe in some cases you could think that it's not just, you know, identifying the groups. It's more than that. It's a lava bo mechlala say. Or, on the next level, it's more than a lava bo mechlala say. it's a way of saying that in consciously, you know, avoiding the lav, you know, that's significant too. Or abstaining from the lav, right, is a kiyum, even more than, you know, being careful not to violate it. I know I'm being very subtle, but I really think that this is the thing. Right? Or maybe even go so further, at one point over Rambam and Rambam, Nanila Bavli has a suggestion. He says, it sounds a little in the Rambam in the, you know, the last one, like he's saying that, you know, checking out the simanim is the mitzvah. You know? Which is different than knowing what the animals are that are permitted or not permitted. Different than lava b'mechlal asay. Different than giving credit, you know, for being shomer this lav, or zahir in this lav. Different than abstaining from the lav. It's something else. But it's all in the same continuum. Right? It's he's actually positively checking out, who cares? So Raman Raman and others say, like, who cares? So he's checking it out. He's checking it out. Raman Raman says, I don't know what you're talking about. Right? At one point of Nanila Bavli says, kind of implies, and Raman Raman calls him out for this, he says, he's implying that there maybe that maybe the Raman should have counted three. The lav, the lav of Bamechlal Asay, you know, kind of lav or of Od Basay. And three, Leida Asase, or Livdo Kasasimanim. So Rav Ram says, I don't know what he's talking about. The Livdo Kasasimanim is to determine, you know, whether you're, you know, whether it's permissible, whether it's a matir, or whether it's mutter, sorry, or whether there's a lav, including a lav of Bamechlal Asay. Like, what's he talking about? What's the third? But I know what Rav Daniel Bavli was talking about. And some of the Mefarshim, the Kesef Mishnah, and others, and Bin Machol, actually suggest this. Now, what the Rambam meant was Bidika Sasimanim. But isn't Rav Raman and Rambam right? Bidika Sasimanim is separate from knowing? In the Radvaz, this is what Josh pointed out to me, right? That's that piece. Where is it again? Chelek Ches? In Ksav Yad, the right, Simen Aleph. Couple of people mentioned to me, but Josh originally brought it to my attention. So he suggests the possibility for the Rambam that Yediyas HaSimanim is the mitzvah. I mean, it's a mitzvah to go to yeshiva and to learn Simanei Kashrus. Says the Radvaz, do I have that here somewhere? Josh gave it to me, so treated respectfully, right? Oh, here it is. Yeah. 1 second. The kavanas mitzvah shemrotz alechol sheyivdo kasimanim. Im lo asachein v'ochal behema ochaya over belav. The alpha gab the nirim lishonu shemitzvah leida olahakir asimanim. Alpha b'sheina rotz alechol v'komokom einzu svar klal. What's fascinating about it is why el hareza doma lemitzvah shchita smuchala hilcha shchita aleph aleph. According to, well, we shouldn't be learning a chashita because you just go to the store now and you just, you know, you pick up the food. Well, obviously we don't think that. Well, first of all, maybe in shchita there's no mitzvah to know the dinim, and maybe in the simanim there are, but in the end of the day, what's the mitzvah of Yediyas HaSimanim? What mitzvah would that be? Okay, so it's a mitzvah of Yediyas HaSimanim or Bedikas HaSimanim? Rabbi Raman Aram is saying, I don't see the Bedikas HaSimanim separate from violating or not violating. The answer is, just one more second, there may be, especially if the Mechayiv, this is a separate question, you know, are the Simanei Kashrus just Simanim? Or are they part of the siba, if you will, of what's mutter and what's asr? That's one question. Secondly, if the mechayev is, you know, being cog, don't be. It's like the Tosas says in Shavuos. Tosas Shavuos says the mitzvah of shvisa b'shabbos u'b'yom tov is not accomplished, you know, without some awareness and some effort. Because if you're tired and you fall asleep on Shabbos and Yontif, and therefore you don't violate any malacha, says there's no kiyum in that case. Not everybody agrees. That's what Tos says in Shavuot. Whether you had Yud Gimel or so. I mean, there's a kumbasei to shvisa, or at least there's an awareness and a recognition. It has to be thoughtful. You have to be cognizant of it. Right? So can't there be a mitzvah in you know, kosher food observance? Basically, what they're assuming is, all there is make sure you don't violate, end of story. Maybe being a kosher consumer, right, who intentionally is keeping kosher and who's aware of what that means and who thinks about it, maybe even is therefore forced to come, you know, to some understanding or appreciation of what that means in terms of Kedusha. Maybe that's important too. I mean, the Rambam does emphasize, the Psukim emphasize, Lahavdil and the Simanim, whether it's Yediyasam or it's actually Bedikasam. What I'm trying to say is, even if they're right, right, that it isn't disconnected from the question of Achila, the emphasis in the Psukim and in the Lashon HaRambam about Yediyah or Bedika, etc., is a way of saying you have to be a kosher observer. You're not the Sheva Al Tasa, you know, like Tosis and Shavuah stuff Yud Gimel. I mean, or actually like it, but by knowledge and by choice and by cognizance and awareness and so on. Maybe Lemaisa, there's no difference between that and avoiding eating trefa food. But conceptually, it's a huge difference. So maybe, you know, Rabbi Raman Rambam says, like, three? I understand Rabbi Daniel Bavli. He's saying, listen, if you really think that, then there are three. I think that Rambam thinks there aren't three, because those two parts of the essay are one. The reason that we count the lav, what seems like a lav above the chlal essay, is because it's more than that. It's the kiyum part, which expresses itself in the havdalah and in the bedika and in the yediyah, not as separate dinim, but as the ways of highlighting what it means to be an aware, kosher observer, you know, one who's, you know, who thinks about the significance of it, and so on. Yeah.
The Rambam himself in the Minyan HaMetzvos on Kater seems to distinguish about Bedika versus Yediyah between Behema Oaf and
Chagadah. Chagadah, correct.
Right.
So and that's kind of what Rabbi Neil Bavli is legitimately saying, both in terms of Psukim and in terms of the Lashon HaRambam.
Right.
He's saying, well, if you really think that there's this subtle thing going on, then, and that's what it is, then you should be Mechalek based on the Psukim and based on the Lashonos and the Rambam itself. You should be counting, you know, some of them, but not others.
And there's right. Also Hasagas HaRavid on Libdo Pesama
Pesima. Yeah, go ahead.
So the Rambam in Minyan HaMitzvos HaKatzer and Kofnan Tas Niyasei, he says, Libdo Pesimani Behema, Shneemar, Sos HaChai, Asher Tofu, Mekol Vekulei. And then the Ravid says, Amar Avram, Kol Libdo, Libdok, Ain Lahem Tam, El Mishum Lav Abba Mikhlal Asay.
Yes, exactly.
But then in the subsequent two mitzvot, Kofnun and Kofnun Aleph, the Rambam says, Libdok Vissimone Ha'o, Ad Sheyavdil, Bein Tamei Shavo, Lutar Shavo, Shemar Kol Tibor Tahor Tochlo. And then in Kofnun Aleph, Tochelo, excuse me, Kofnun Aleph, Libdok Vissimone Hagavim, Leda, Tahor Ben HaTamei.
Yeah, so one case it's Leda, and the other one it's Lahavdil.
Yeah.
So again, it could be that in different both in terms of what, you know, default, what's kosher, what's not kosher, maybe there's a difference between levels of consumption. You know, some things are more, you know, just zehirus from the lav, but that's also a kiyum because you're thinking about it. I'm giving the example Tos and Shavuos, and in other things it's actually a kiyum to know, you know, more specifically, you know, the simanim, because they're part of the mechayiv of what makes it asur and mutar. Yeah, I just don't want to go into all the detail. Probably we'll just spend a couple of minutes just on some of the notes of Kalim. Maybe when we finish this up on Sunday. But yeah, I just wanted to give you the general idea. Now, Rabbi Raman Rambam, you know, basically is saying, like, you know, there's nothing to this. But I think there is a lot to it. And some of the notes of Kalim do say, make such suggestions. Yeah.
Is it
it's potentially suggesting that somebody who lives in like the Yiddish shtetl and there's only kosher food available to him would not be Mekayim the same way that you are Mekayim in the Shkritis Yom Tov, just like a draft.
I mean, we who live in these challenging circumstances and have to make choices and be more aware, you're saying it's easier for us to be Mekayim, the Kiyum Aseh part, if there is one, than shtetl livers. I mean, it's more challenging, but they would be Mechuyev. They just have to, I guess it would just be more, it would be easier for them just to like, you know, they just go to Rosenblum's and pick up the food and, you know, it's not like there's key food or any other, you know, they're not even tempted. Right? Assuming, I guess. Right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I think that's true on a challenging level. But in the end of the day, everybody can still do it. You can still know what the simanim are. You can still be saying, oh, you know, I'm avoiding, you know, or maybe there's a shmira yasera to avoid. Make sure you're not even, you know. You can still do it either way. I think it's just a practical comment. There's some benefit to living in a multicultural, halachically challenging environment. Okay, it's good to know that because, believe me, there are a lot of downside, and it's all around us, and sometimes it's really disturbing. So, you know, if there are some silver linings there, that you know, that's good. It's good horror. Okay. Anyways, it doesn't change the halacha, is what I'm saying, but I think it's true. Okay. So I think that's what's going on a little bit in the discussion between. I think there's a lot that Rabbi Daniel Ababli points out in terms of the psukim, in terms of the shonus of the Rambam, in terms of, you know, some other suggestions that point in this direction, just that he doesn't kind of buy it. And there's a lot in what Rabbi Ram and Rambam is rejecting, saying, well, that's too extreme, or this Radvaz is too extreme. But I think that's really what's going on in the Rambam. Yeah.
Just a question, Shita's Ravid. So the Ravid here and also on Kufman Bob says yeah. that, oh, you can't keep the Rambam shouldn't count it because it's a lot of Allah saying. Yeah. But there are other instances in Sefer Mitzvos, Minyan Mitzvos, where the Rambam gives his own time, that, oh, this is a lot to call Asay Asay, and I'm counting it as a Mitzvah, where the Ravid doesn't.
So maybe again, right, I mean, this feeds in that even, maybe the Ravid thinks that there are some. I think, like the Rambam, as the Nosa Caleb are pointing out, you know, he doesn't have, I mean, the Ramban is saying, you know, there's this stark argument between the Bahag and the Rambam, and, you know, the Rambam kind of just, you know, glossed, ignored it in Shorish Vav, and it's egregious that he ignored it, especially since he's on the wrong side of the debate. And, you know, and again, all throughout Sefer Mitzvos, he has, again and again, he mentions just Shorish Aleph and Shorish Vav are the most, because they're whatever. And what I'm saying is, you know, then the Rambam should have counted a lot more things. I'm not saying it. I mean, also Kalim are also saying it. I'm just trying to give an approach of what it may be. Is that all you're pointing out? That in the Ravid, you know, you may also have to make distinctions. I think that's true. We'll see when we get to the question of, like, do you count two lavin in Minyan Mitzvos? That there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban in that. And I'll try to show there, I mean, I'll tell you now, that there are exceptions, clear exceptions to the Rambam's stated view, and there are clear exceptions to the Ramban's stated view. And I think, again, you know, because there are cases where two mechayvim is obvious, and there are cases where kefel onesh is obvious. And then there are subtle things in between. I think that that's true here as well. Of course, in the case of the Ravid, there's something else, and that is something we talked about the other day. When the Ravid is not masig, you know, is that argument from silence that he agrees? You know, and the answer is not always. Somebody asked me the other day, well, he's masig in Minyan Katzar, but he's not masig in the halachos. That certainly doesn't bother me, you know, because again, this is, you know, he's doing his job and he's on to the next project. But in general, that's a question that Nefarshei HaRavid al Rambam, you know, debate about. It's like in, if you look in Professor Tversky, Zecharno Livracha's book on the Ravid, he has like a whole section on this, you know. Can you, he has like a history of it. You know, different Farshim, we thought you could learn from the silence of the Ravid or not. Right. So, but here, I think yesh v'yesh, that's really the answer. Okay. With regard to Shechita more specifically, yeah.
That's the common way of our discussion now, and the Ravaz, that's interesting to revisit the thing where Pilla was struggling with, which is why the Sadhu goes and says, Shechita Tachot Adas.
You think of what he says?
Meaning
just knowing it, because that's a way of a kumvase of keeping it b'shev al tas. Maybe. That's an alternative to the things that he does say, which I'll get to in a minute. Very good, I like that. Okay, so this is, again, I'm sorry it takes so long, but they're important questions. You have to look at the Nosa Kalim and the Rambam and the Rambam Simpa, and you can say for instance at one point, the Rambam, that's a big question also. The Rambam emphasizes L'Havdil, you know, but the Pesukim that he quotes are like each Pasuk separately. Like, why is that? Because he's trying succinctly to explain what it is about. If it was just a list to identify what's kosher, what's not, that never should be counted. If it's just a, you know, Lavarl of Ba'odase or L'Hadgish Yoser, you won't count that. You know, but if it is, you know, being Nizar, being Shomer, you know, is important too. Or you know, I say being a knowledgeable, you know, Shomer Kashrus. Or even more, there's a Kiyum in the abstention. Or even more, you know, the knowledge of, you know, of why it's Asur, you know, and the perspective on it. That's, then you understand where the, why the emphasis on the L'Havdil, even though it's not the right Pasuk. Okay, so these are very important things. Now, with regard to Shechita itself, so Rav Daniel Ababli, right, that's part of his attack, and he says that you know, we should where do I have that? He said the Rambam should hold that you always violate, actually we're not going to finish that, I'm sorry, but we'll finish this on Sunday for sure, and we'll do brachos on Sunday because I really want to get to the start. I know it's taking longer, but here, the odine bier she'inyan amarnu mitzaseyu yosel. Oh, the adult. Okay, fine. It says gam l'shitasa she'ikra tzivu be'inyan shemitzaseyu yotzim menu she'over lo sodin im yesh lo sase over lase velo sase al kok tzar klom ridksiv is avach tov yachalta shu tzivu yashkita neilif she'ocha belo shkita over basse velo sase hechan matzino, that every time you eat an avela that you're violating an ase and a lo sase. Oh. And the Rambam himself doesn't say that. So, Rav Avraham and Rambam, Udvarecha binyan v'zavachta v'yachalta ru'uyim lihi amer. Says the other stuff, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean about the pesukim. By the way, tochlu and tochelu is a good example of what I mentioned also, right? In terms of added emphasis, as opposed to even, you know, pesukim yutarim, or you know, the ability. But as we talked before about tochelu is an emphatic. You know, you should eat these. Right? Whatever. Udvar chabinim zavachta v'chalta ruim lehayamer, v'adimin roi lehidamos, ach ein mizek kushe olav, ki kvar mono ha'asei b'shar ha'esin, v'alav b'shar olav. And I'm not sure what he means by that, frankly. Meaning it is, whatever. Avaloi tachein l'chai ben avela, ha'asei v'los ha'asei, ki lo huzkar zeh b'divrayim, afa b'shi ha'chonu l'hotze b'hai. Meaning, logically you're right, he's saying, but it doesn't sound like the Rambam, it doesn't sound like Father, you know, holds that way. Awesome. V'ulai mipnei shekishi ayein matza pircha behekesh. Again, this is fascinating stuff. Just he's saying with the Rambam, he said logically you're right, given that, you know, namely it should be that way. But obviously the Rambam thought that there was a fallacy in the equation. You can equate these, but his instinct or his logic told him that there's a difference. U'kamoshan va'er who. Shemamar yisale, ezet tochelu o osa tochelu or tochlu, labanu shekoma shenedar simanim lo tochlu, benasim mishulale asimanim lava b'mechlal asei, asei. Right there, it's all. Sounds like it's all referring to the same subsets, the same group of things. But he says, Mashenkim bezavachta v'achalta, ki omro yisale bezavachta v'achalta afa pishu asei, below safek v'nafek minei isur achila. It's true that v'zavachta v'achalta implies that without zvicha you can't eat it, but it doesn't seem like that's the equivalent of nevela. Sorry, amr v'zavachta ain't perusha kol zvicha shetia. Number one, it says v'zavachta v'achalta. It doesn't sound like you violate an asay every time you eat something, you know, that's a nevela. It sounds like every time you don't fulfill v'zavachta v'achalta, you're violating the Vela, but not the other way. Ela shchita ba'ufanim shekola hakabala. V'zeh namash ein cholek bo. Aval b'inyan zeh sheyotze isura ba'asei mizah tzivui rotza lomar beheder azevach kedino lopo klal lav al zeh mamish. Kelavu inyan acher. Lo etzema isra yotze mechlal v'zavachta. This he repeats again later. Again, fascinating havamina. Is nevela the lack of a proper shchita? We'll discuss as we go forward that Reb Chaim understood that that trefa was a lack of heter shchita. Ah, we'll get to that. He has that possibility for nevela and he rejects it. Shemash meuso shabira hakabala shchita kedina ki isra yotze menu lesser shalo nizbach kedino on the chiro ki yotze bo. Balav lo babaze, ela bin avela, veina nevela mashalo nishkat kedin dovad, ela mashalo nishkat kedin nichla balav de nevela, vilo nemer sha nevela base velosa say lohe mimer emes, kain kol nevela base, ela zusha nishkata shalo kedin, or mumse spilvad, elem kain nomar sha chelik mina nikra b'shem nevela base velosa say, chelik mina velosa say bilvad. Are there some things that are only in the law, is the assay more expansive than the law? He says that's not likely. But v'zein miskabel b'mtomer af hamesa me'ala ain isura ela mitzad had their shchita. Will you say that nevela is the lack of shchita? That's an interesting point. He says imkain kol nevela ba'asei nosaf al alav nashivinomer she'im zanachon. Sharei, we'll discuss the rayas later, but misukenes shelo pircha. Right? Oh. Vim tomar delok shiva shkita ru'uya. Very interesting things. We'll get to them. Mikan nira she'en siba sa'isr v'beheima tamei v'ov tamei v'zulasam hedra simanim. Zunikuda dako she'en lamad alala betov ha'iyun v'akakira. That's what we've been trying to do. V'royla daktek v'pratel izbonim betov tzalseha. And so on. But what does he say about nevela in the end? So he has a huge chiddush about nevela. And Rabbi Fishel Perlo likes it also, somewhat. And that is, his view of the Rambam and Nevela, I don't buy it, frankly, but I think it's fascinating, is that the Isra Asei of the Zabachta is only in the context of Shchita. I mean, if you're doing Shchita and you do the Shchita incorrectly, of course the parameters of that are very tricky. Right? So you have to be in the ballpark of Shchita and to be Mekalkel the Shchita. So it's a zvizavachta gone wrong. Then you violate the assay. But every time you eat a nevela that dies, or you know, without shchita, that's nevela. That's not an absence of shchita. Thus he considers three possibilities. Either it's a lava b'mechlal assay, which is what the Ramban thought that the Bahag thought, but he never attributes that to the Rambam or to himself, right? Or, I mean, the three of Rabbam and Rambam. Or nevela is the absence of shchita. It's not nevela per se, it's anything without a proper shchita. That's the real mechayev. The lav is just an extreme onish of not doing the assay. That obviously makes shchita very prominent, but he doesn't think that that's the case. As I say, we'll touch on whether trefa is in something like that. Or there are two dinim. One is the ether of nevela, and the other is improper shchita. So the question just is as follows: like, and at the end of the day, yeah, I have to stop right there. Improper shchita. What is that? Like, what's the significance of that? Okay, technically now we're saying, oh, the assay isn't the mirror of the lab. It has its own nafkamina. It has its own limited parameters. You can count it separately. Great, but what is it? So in Rabbi Yerucham Feshel Perlo, like he likes this of Raman Rambam. He thinks maybe also Psadrigo must be, you know, the gnomic comment. Or he says, I have another suggestion. Another suggestion is that Vizavachta refers to the Shochet, and the Vela refers to the Ochel. If the Shochet messes up the Shchita, right, then he violates Vizavachta, the Aseya Vizavachta, even though he doesn't need it. That's even more stark. Right, but again, the question arises both for Avraham and Rambam and for that suggestion, assuming that it's legit. What did he have in mind, really? Like, what makes that something? The answer is the only thing that can make it something is if shechita is not just a matir. Right? If shechita is just about, you know, making sure something isn't an avela, then there's no chalos of being in the moment, or like, why would there be? And there's no special status of the of the of the shochet. It's not lifnei avel isitei nechshal, right? If it's that shechita is a kiyum and shechita is a matir which is suffused with significance, you know, it's the way of addressing dama nefesh or tzar balei chayim, or it's the way of invoking, you know, karbanos in the context of achilas basar chulin, right? So then then there's something about messing up that opportunity, or as a shochet, you know, not being careful and messing it up. Yeah.
We did mention it is possible that because it's like, you know, halachas are from halacha Moshe Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
It is possible that we're extra sensitive to any kilt on the mitzvah, even if it is just a matir. I don't like it either.
I mean, as what? Because it's like an implicit rebellion against halacha Moshe Mitzrayim.
And the procedure is so specific.
I guess if you'd see it that way, but I find it strange to say that. I find it hard to say that. Anyway, that I think is what is going on in the... okay, what remains to be done, I do have to stop. I'm way overboard, and I also have to run to something now. What's left? What's left of the Minyan Mitzvos, again, is... I want to speak about what Rav Sadja Gaon meant by Basar Taiba being a mitzvah, the two views of Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perlow. I want to speak about that quickly, and then I want to speak still about Tosis and Shavuos, although mostly we know what we need to say about it. The 2 days of Tosis and Shavuos, the Prima Gadim. I want to speak about the rush in Ksuvas, very important. If you get a chance, there's a tshuva, a bunch of you asked me about it also. Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, it's a famous tshuva, where, you know, he was asked, you know, why sometimes we make a bracha, sometimes we don't. It appears in a bunch, many places. You can, the Abudram has it, it's in the Tshuva Sarajba, it's in the Tzmin Deim, it's all over the place. What he says about Shechita is really interesting, so I want to talk about that quickly if you get a chance to look at that. And then I want to talk about Birchas HaShechita a little bit. Again, I'll try to limit it because I do want to start, you know, straight. We need to do that. But again, these haktamos, I think, help provide like a framework for other things as well. So, Birchas HaShechita, and then I want to talk also as quickly as we can about the different views of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Kiva, Basar Taiba, Bamidbar. That is very relevant, obviously, to our topic. And then after that, we go straight. Okay? But we'll try to move more.